welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And as always, my co-host, J.C. Sherbert. Welcome in, J.C.
Good to be here. Very, very happy to be here.
Very happy to be here.
So we got another short one here, but
Another quick hitter. We'll put about 10 minutes in, take a break, and do another 15.
Yeah, no doubt. Lots of arena talk. Very interesting comments, I thought. And I think, you know, look, for a project like this, too, so the stadium project, we started kind of talking about that, and it kind of leaked out. The planning stages were almost – we're going on maybe four years since they got that going, since they were talking about it, and it's just now started. So if you add the Colonial Life Arena is 24 years old, so the talking phase and the approval phase is going to take 3-4 years, and then maybe another one or two to get it started. I mean, that's 30 years. The Carolina Coliseum was 34 years old when they moved out of it. So you are he is accurate in saying it's nearing the end of its life cycle. If you kind of go by what they did with the Frank McGuire Arena.
Yeah.
So anyway, Matt's in the Outer Banks. He's also in the McKellar Enterprises chat box. It's windy there, he says. In the summertime, I can do a little wind. When it's cold outside. No. The wind is, you know, I'm definitely in my old man yells at cloud era. I may never get out of it, Phil. The wind just enrages me now when it's cold and windy. I'm like, good God, it's bad enough. It's 13 degrees. And this is windy as hell and everything's blowing over.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, there's
one of the coldest I've ever been in the South. Really ever. Was in Spartanburg at Trombole practice one day. It was about 30 degrees. So it was cold for down there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the wind was just all day long. And I was like, my face was frozen to my face.
Yeah, it's the wind. And if there's a little bit of humidity, that just makes it.
The humidity makes it stick to you. It's a different kind of cold. It's
terrible. Yeah.
But, It's cold.
It's a dry cold.
Something else. I hope all the wind in the Midlands stops by Friday. I'd like to have a nice landing in Columbia.
Oh yeah,
Heading in for the wing eating contest, the 4th annual wing off. Go to cockyhospitality.com and RSVP, folks. We did get an RSVP from Latte Lance.
Oh yeah,
he's going to be in the house. So 4 p.m. CB18 Bar and Grill in Five Points. Most of you that were there last year know where it's at. And free appetizers. It's a family-friendly event. There's going to be a dunk tank, wing eating contest, lots of dignitaries there. It should be pretty awesome. So that's the deal there. All right, so back to the McKellar Enterprises chat box. Bruin says, I didn't have Kornblut versus Wiltfong, two people I know. Steve Wiltfong of Vol 3 and Rivals and Phil Kornblut from Sports Talk on my bingo card today. What happened?
Oh, I'm looking on Twitter now to see, because that sounds like Twitter beef.
A Twitter beef. Oh, I don't know, man.
I wonder if it's regarding the Segura commitment.
Maybe. I don't really know, though. That's what I would assume it would be about.
Boy, someone is really tweeting hard on the... Phil is going to town on this.
Well, oh God. All right. So let's see what happened.
Well, I don't even know I can't even tell. I'm just saying, like, the volume of tweets in the past hour from Sports Talk are just insane. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tweets in the past 55 minutes.
Yeah, he's talking, and then most of it was like, about the Segura thing, second day on the job, and LSU just added a 4-star running back from upstate South Carolina because, of course, is one thing. I don't know. And then he's
replying to these people. Phil doesn't necessarily.
He might not be the one tweeting, right?
That's not always Phil.
Yeah, unless Bruin has other can clarify a bit more.
Help us out here, man.
I don't really see anything. Who knows?
Yeah, help us out, my man. So I don't see anything there either. So.
But Segura kind of, as expected here lately from what we'd heard, committing to LSU.
Yeah, I'll mention that. South Carolina had him on campus last night. Had a good workout and stuff. The commitment was, these days there's a lot of preparation that goes into it, the edits and all that good stuff. And it's too far down the road to get him to hold off. But, and you never want to like Harrison's coming through with the beef. Where's the beef, Phil?
Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Classic commercials. Asking myself here lately too.
So looks like,
do you have something?
South Carolina is not. Tell the kid they offered. They made the edit. I'm sure the South Carolina.
I don't know. I don't look at most edits, like recruiting videos. I'm not.
Well, this is whoever did this. I mean, I'm not trying to call anybody out. This is completely inappropriate. For whoever's running this account to, if you're angry at rivals putting out a graphic that's misleading or something, most Gamecock fans, I can assure you that care, no, South Carolina's not getting him.
Right. if you pay attention at all, it was not leaning this way at the end.
Steve's a good guy. I mean, this is kind of harsh. FYI, South Carolina is not in the running for Gathers, as you should know. His official visit was canceled. He hasn't visited since March. Steve says, tell the kid they offered and they make the edit. The kids do. I'm sure South Carolina has landed a commitment from a kid. There was a logo on the edit of a school no longer recruiting him. Keep it moving.
So it's one of those.
Looks to me like rivals made the edit. You posted it. You're the expert. You should know South Carolina is no longer involved. The post has your name on it. Own it.
That's from the sports talk handle.
That doesn't even sound like Phil Kornblut.
No, that's not Phil. That's somebody else. It's Smitty. Smitty's just, burning the world.
Oh, it better not. I mean, I hope it's not.
Smitty. It's not Smitty.
I mean, that doesn't sound like Smitty either. No,
it doesn't.
And I know the producer there. Who's the co-host that's on with Phil all the time?
Oh,
could it be him?
Maybe it is him.
What a butthole.
Let's see.
That's ridiculous, man. Of all the battles on Twitter to fight, why you're going to fight Steve Wiltfong, who's just doing his job, who works harder and breaks more news than just about anybody in our business, who I've known for years, who's a really good person, right? Doesn't talk smack to anybody and was trying to defuse the Twitter battle and then just walked away, as he should. I mean, you're a little too important to have to deal with this.
I don't see you on Twitter.
So I don't. It doesn't sound. It doesn't read like something Phil would post. That just doesn't sound like Phil. Maybe it is. I can't rule it out. And Phil was just like, and Steve was like, I'm sure South Carolina's landed a commitment from a kid, and there's a logo on the edit of the school no longer recruiting him. Yeah.
Kids do that all the time.
Official visit was canceled, and he hasn't visited since March. Yeah, he's going to Florida. It's Carolina didn't necessarily like
Oh, who are we talking about?
Trey Gathers. Okay. Gathers kid. He's going to Florida, just not to spoil it. Mm-hmm. He's going to Florida, but telling somebody to own it over an edit is silly. And I don't know what you accomplished by that.
Yeah.
And like I said, most Gamecock fans that care know he's, know a long time ago Carolina was out of it. And I don't know. Y'all tell me in the chat box. Do you care if Carolina's logo is on with a kid that's not going there? I mean, it's happened a lot, and Carolina's gotten commits from guys. The logo's on there, and as was pointed out accurately, anybody care about that? You know,
apparently Korn does.
Look, you can't. All right, so as somebody that used to cover recruiting nationally, is it a little frustrating that if you're working a story and you're working on breaking the news, that the guy that's going to get the news, the people that are going to get the news, the people that do fancy graphics for the players? Yes. But that's the way our world changes. That's just how it has changed. That's not anybody's fault. That's communication. Frankly, I think recruiting coverage needs a once over. To be honest, you keep the, I don't think it's about chasing the news anymore with the kids and stuff. They all say the same thing when you get them on the phone, if you can. Nobody, zero fans give a flip about those quotes. I mean, you have to do it because it's still interesting for people to read. But I think just in general that, you're fighting a battle that, and taking a shot at a good person is not going to solve that. And again, I'm not naming any, I don't know who did it. There's a lot of people that run that account, but I would pick my battles a little more wisely.
Yeah.
I mean, and look, Steve Wilfong's a friend of mine, and I know how he operates and does things, and he tracks down the news the old school wise, right? He's not an edit maker, So I think that's kind of sorry to sit there and get after him about something like that. So anyway.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Quantrill says misguided anger over how Carolina's currently recruiting. Yeah, but that doesn't sound like sports talk people either. If it were one of these other accounts, Harrison said Carolina got a commitment from DJ Braswell and Carolina wasn't even on his graphic. Yeah.
Right.
That gave me, when the Brendan Tyson thing came out, I mentioned that because it was like the wife and I were driving either to Tennessee or South Carolina. We were going someplace. We were going through Indiana and his Final Four got mentioned. Carolina wasn't in it. They were expecting to get him. It was like Nebraska, Alabama, and then two other schools, Kansas and somebody. It was weird. It was a weird deal. And found out later, and I was like, I hope we don't go down this road where kids name Final Fours then commit to a school that's, it's ha ha. It's like, that's not funny at all.
No.
And so that happened to South Carolina. I don't think it's a Gamecock thing. If anything, it's a frustration with edits, I would guess. I don't know. I don't want to speak to anybody's motivation. I just know that attacking Steve Wilfong is not a smart, is not going to win any battles,
No.
at all. So that's, that's kind of sorry, especially that. Matt says, speaking of Twitter, does On3 have any affiliation or ties to ESPN or the SEC? Saw people complaining that On3 is biased toward the SEC. Is biased because of NIL ties to ESPN, discrediting all On3 posts. Yeah, those are like the good buddy of ours that was following the Big Spur account. What those people are, Matt, is Yelp reviewers.
Yeah, right.
They
I'm gonna write a Yelp review.
They're so angry about whatever, and obviously On3 is a startup company, and so you're growing the monster there the more you engage with them on, you know, if you think they're a problem. But we had somebody on the Big Spur account, everything that was out that had Jamie's name in it, there would be a smart aleck comment and something about the competition being exalted or whatever. And I'm like, dude, that you must really, I mean, we all love those guys, right? But you must really have posters and stuff up in your house. If you love them that much, you know, you're willing to come attack Jamie over it. So I finally blocked it because I was like, look, most businesses, if you're sitting there on their Facebook page, you know, I hate to block people on X. I just don't care enough to do it.
Right.
But the people that get that troll the On3 stuff, the On3 accounts, those are, look, I'll tell you this. If On3 is biased toward the SEC, okay, then they wouldn't make any money. Right. Because you wouldn't have the largest North Carolina site in that market. Right. They're not an SEC school. You wouldn't have a large Notre Dame site. You wouldn't have a large Ohio State site. You wouldn't have a big Michigan site. You know, you wouldn't have the biggest Southern Cal site on the planet. Right. You know, market by market, you would, there's only 16 markets in the SEC. One of them is Vanderbilt. It's hard to make money at Vanderbilt. You can make money in all the other ones, but not Vanderbilt's tough. You got to have a dang good Vandy site. You know, you wouldn't, if it were just an SEC thing, I think what happens is people get mad about the rankings and the SEC still recruits the best players in the country, the best recruits. People get mad about the player rankings. They are kind of on their high horse about the Big Ten winning the national championships and stuff, which good for them. And so it's now not about like the guys that do the evaluations and all that being accurate or not. It's about just a bias because, you know, they're 3-star or whatever from, you know, Iowa and ranked higher than a guy from Florida or whatever. It's a very intellectually shallow argument as far as that goes. But they're mad about that and maybe about some other things. And so they get in there and just SEC, SEC this. And so the SEC has rabid fan bases. And obviously with networks like this, you cater to them. But I'll tell you this right now, there's more numbers in the Big Ten. You can ask television. We've talked about this all the time. Why does the Big Ten make more TV money? Because there's more people.
Yeah,
The schools are bigger. They're large, gigantic land grant institutions with millions of alums everywhere. Mm-hmm. And look at the crowd in Indiana football. Look at the crowd they had both in Atlanta. I mean, they filled up Mercedes-Benz. They had more people there. Carolina did for the opener. Carolina's right down the road. And then look at the crowd they had in Miami on the Hurricanes home field. They out, and that's Indiana, and Indiana football, you know, hadn't been good. Northwestern is the smallest school in that league. When they went to the Rose Bowl back in the day with Pat Fitzgerald, half that stadium, 104,000 seat stadium, half that stadium was purple. I mean, they're just big schools, and just in the history of our country, there are just tons of alums. So if On3 is biased against the Big Ten, that'd just be dumb. That'd be the dumbest thing ever.
I know.
Because money's green, you know, and not Oregon green, you know.
Right. Well, anybody who talks about college football at one point or another is going to be accused of having an SEC bias.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that in and of itself should explain everything, but people need it laid out for them. And even when you do lay it out for them, just like you most assuredly did there, it's not going to matter. They're still going to, you know, just be all up in their feelings.
Right. All right. TD Noel, I talked about this on coffee this morning, but I'll redo it. He says, sucks. We keep losing these in-state school kids to out-of-state schools. I know 4-8 and hot seat talk is a factor. It's the factor, especially with this one. I know but it's tough to digest. It is right now, but you got to, I mean, should have been prepared for it. I mean, I know it's still tough, but there's a little light at the end of the tunnel with Amari Patterson and Josh Dobson coming up. I'm not guaranteeing Carolina will get them, but if they can, and I feel better about them than I did Trey, you know, you get those two, you get a couple other guys, you kind of roll into the season. And then, you know, look, it's kind of like Lamont Paris in this basketball season, as far as that subject goes. You know, Carolina got itself into this spot with the year that it collectively had, where this upcoming academic year, winning is dramatically important across the board for a number of reasons. The same thing applies to recruiting. If you want to sign a really good recruiting class, get some of these guys back, maybe flip a couple, maybe get some new guys that flip some guys from some other schools that you weren't in the game for. The answer is simple. It's winning, at least to the point where the staff is safe and, you know, all that good stuff. And, you know, I think the football team has a pretty good chance to do that. I don't know about basketball. You know, basketball is either win or go. It's like the tournament, win or go home. I mean, it's basically the situation. And these situations get created when you don't do what, Phil? Win.
Winning, yes.
You know, and so it's just one of those things. You got to win.
Well, it amplifies to the win now, right? There's two factors that are contributing to win now for Carolina football, and that's the roster itself and how, you know, it's going to shake out, who's eligible for the draft after this coming season, who's out of eligibility after this coming season. And then the other side of it is you can't put together back-to-back abysmal seasons that are like 4-8. That's just you can't have that anymore. That's not how to run a program. That's not how to keep the team rolling. So it places a heavier emphasis on win now, not just because now's the time to strike with the roster you have, but the effects of that roster leaving could be amplified if this is not a successful season for Coach Beamer and the football team on the field, just because you might be able to make up some ground with some of the commits, but there's a greater potential for you to lose the commits that you already have with another bad season.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's a lot that goes into having a bad, if you have a bad season. You know, so I mean, last year they held it together pretty well.
Yeah.
And I think too, these days you can survive one bad season with the class you got committed, because you're kind of always talking to those guys. Those guys play football. They like actually understand what's wrong. They're not fans. They're not there to cheer. You know, they just, the players have a different perspective. I've said many times, Nick Harbor took his official visit to South Carolina, the worst game ever. It was the Georgia game in 2022. Noon kickoff, hot, and Georgia just destroyed them. Carolina had some guys out. Marcus Satterfield happened early in the game. Georgia could not be stopped. I mean, it was bad. And there was nobody in the stands because, I mean, it was a million degrees and nobody wanted to watch that. And so it's like, well, there goes Nick Harbor. Well, where did Nick Harbor end up signing? South Carolina. Has he ever transferred? No. I mean, he loves Carolina. So the end game is important. What's important in all this, and TD, it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean you don't feel bad about it now, and it's hard to digest. I said this on coffee today, Phil. You know, a lot of times folks and I are like, oh, calm down, everybody calm down, all this good stuff. Well, I think I'm gonna quit saying that, because fans are passionate, right?
Right. Yeah.
Be passionate. It's entertainment. There's enough to. There, now, if you get sociopathic, as some do out there, that's different. Don't be a sociopath. But, I mean, yeah, if you're fired up about it, that's good. Appreciate the passion, man.
Choo-choo. I mean,
apathy is the opposite of that. And there's enough in the world to get legitimately upset about, or to, there's enough in the world to tell people to calm down about than sports.
So, than sports, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the deal there. Matt says his prediction is they'll flip Segura if they win 8 games.
Yeah. Could be. You know.
I don't know.
I don't know if there's a magic number, but
yeah,
8 will help.
8 would be a step in the right direction. Lauren says Harbor and Stewart are such outliers in this day and age. Kids who stuck with their commitment through all Carolina has been through. Yeah, and I'll say this, Lauren. I think South Carolina's the outlier. Under Shane Beamer, I think that a lot of kids, I mean, you can go through the list. I mean, it's not just Sellers and Harbor and Stewart that everybody wanted. I mean, I'll start. Obviously, who do I want to even start with? Look, I'll start with Vakari Swain. Everybody in the country would take Vakari Swain and pay him well.
That's right.
Fred Johnson, Justin Uncle-Runquo. Oh, Ohio State wanted Matt Fuller. You know, there was some conversation there, which kind of maybe tells you a little more about Matt Fuller. You know, maybe we're just missing it. Maybe everybody, maybe we just missed it. I don't know. Hopefully we did. I like that. All those offensive linemen that did leave, that nobody was sad about any of that, they all ended up at Power Four schools. I mean, you know, I think that Shane Beamer, and give credit to Garnet Trust and to the administration too, because there's a financial component. I think they did they do a great job of retaining, not just with the money, but like with making guys comfortable and happy to be there, like setting it up. That's people rip the culture when you're losing. They rip that argument, right? Or what when you talk about culture. And I'll say it again, culture is not for when you're, that's called front running when everything's all well and good. And it's all front. Well, okay, we're great. Everybody's great. We're all happy and all that. And the minute you see it with teams across the country, things go bad, and then they don't just lose that game. They lose the next one. And we've seen Carolina teams like that. Things snowball on them. And when I say snowball, it's usually different than last year where Carolina was, they tried. I mean, they went out and competed every game. I mean, the Ole Miss game was it was one score in the third quarter.
Yeah.
That's the type of game where, oh God, Ole Miss at night, they're rolling. All they got to do is beat the Gamecocks and they're in great shape to do this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And Carolina's really struggling. They got their heart ripped out against Alabama the week before. That's going to be a long night in Oxford. Carolina played their butts off in that game. And nobody's, it's not a moral victory. I mean, Carolina kind of screwed around on offense. That was the last straw for Mike Shula. But that's one of the top four teams in the country. Ole Miss finished as a semifinalist this year at their place.
All right.
So in November, where the losses have, needless to say, piled up on you, that's the culture. And that's why kids want to be there. And that's why kids play hard for Beamer. I'm not saying they always play well. As the great philosopher William Larry Muschamp said when he was here, and I quote him a lot because he's right about a lot, there's a difference between playing hard and playing well.
Right.
That's true. That's very, very true. And so I think for those reasons, it's not clear to a lot of people, and it's just not going to be unless they start. What, Phil? What's the answer to everything now?
Winning.
Until they start winning. Right. It's not gonna, there's gonna be a large swath of people that just want to like spit all over the word culture. But I'm telling you, the reason they don't lose guys out of the portal is because of that culture. Because look, man, I mean, there's some guys that everybody would have gladly taken. The winning needs to start too. I mean, Carolina right now, what is the last year? And this is not a it's not a Shane Beamer thing, right? Because Beamer, obviously the players that are doing this played for other coaches as well. Carolina was 22nd in the country in NFL production player-wise. Everybody else on the list, I mean, Auburn and Florida are up there, but they have their own set of problems. But everybody else on the list wins, you know, most of the time. So it was one of those things. Krager said, if Ohio State wanted Fuller, why didn't our coordinator feed him the ball? I think that was a whole – well, number one, this was in the offseason after the coordinator was gone.
That's true.
Number two, that's sort of on the running backs coach. There was a change made there. Number three, I still don't see giving him the ball, man, that much. You know,
we'll always have Kentucky.
They didn't get a push up the middle. Well, even then, though, he was couldn't get a push up the middle, and he needs that. I think in our discussion about Fuller yesterday, Phil, like it was Jamie that said it. He's good when he gets just a little bit of a hole and hits it. And that's the whole thing there.
Yeah. He doesn't need a big gaping hole, just a little bit of daylight.
Bill said, is anybody to the point with LSU that they'll pull for Clemson September 5th?
No.
I mean, well, pull for Clemson?
I'll be indifferent to the outcome.
That's such a shame. I like LSU. And then that full Breaking Bad. Yeah, like yeah. I explained to Mike, and Mike sometimes, you know, he'll look at, you know, he's right about a lot. He goes to every campus and all that good stuff. But they found some cash somewhere. You know, and that's the absolute fact. It's not like they've always been spending money. Matt McMahon can tell you that, right? And Mike agreed, but, you know, what they're doing now is like way different.
Yeah.
Across the board. And they've got some personalities down there. I mean, you have Kim, think about this. You have Kim Mulkey. She's been there a while. Acquired taste, Kim Mulkey.
Yeah, right.
And Lane Kiffin, who says anything that pops in his head. Mm-hmm. And strong-ass offer Will Wade, who you brought back.
Right, that you wanted so bad you brought him back.
And he immediately goes and recruits a roster full of professional players. Yo, I mean, dude,
there are no rules in that.
Their fans were complaining about the baseball team didn't make the tournament this year, right? Their fans are starting to complain about baseball NIL. Oh, that's changed. Mm-hmm. If you go look at some of the big names in the portal, that they've gotten like three or four of them in the last couple of days, just racking them up.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. I think that's why they broke. And then they brought Coach O back on top of that. Which you know, as far as me like going, like, I don't really care for what LSU is doing. Once they brought Coach O back, I'm like, God, you know, I love Coach O.
That's right.
I don't know. I'm conflicting because I love Coach O and Raising Cane's chicken fingers. Like, those are important things in my life. I've never cared for Will Wade at all.
No.
You know, I will say this. I respected him going to McNeese State and winning with those guys like he did. I do think he's a hell of a floor coach in addition to being an interesting enough recruiter. Never had any problem with Jay Johnson, their baseball coach at all. But obviously, Paul Maneri, that's a different story, you know. But, I mean, LSU, I've always just admired their fans and the state and the atmosphere and the whole thing, but man, they're really pushing it. And I've never, you know, I haven't minded Lane Kiffin in a long time. You know, I was kind of happy for him. He got his life together and all that. Well, then, I mean, you know, that documentary, our boy, McGee did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Ryan McGee did.
Ryan McGee. Yeah.
Oh, it was great. I watched the whole thing. My wife watched it. We were like, oh yeah, man, Lane Kiffin's an inspiration. Right. I even said that on J.C. Moore. He's an inspiration for your life. And that's good. And he's found his Shangri-La and all that. And I knew he may take another job. That's there's taking another job. And then there's what he did.
Right.
And it wasn't just that he, my God, Lane Kiffin's going to Ole Miss. Well, Ole Miss, I mean, going to LSU. Ole Miss ain't going to let him coach. Okay, that's fine. And then he says nothing else about it. No. That's not what happened. He's in season. And it's almost like, you know, I think he ended up walking on at Fresno State. Maybe he got a scholarship. I don't know. But he played at Fresno State. It's almost like he's done all this recruiting. He wanted to be recruited. So on, like, Instagram, he's like documenting his official visits to Florida at LSU. So blatantly in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Taking pictures of his kids at the schools. Meanwhile, here's Ole Miss playing football.
Playing some football, right? Yeah.
I mean, in the one hand, you're like, you respect the fact, you know, some coaches are like, oh, I'm just, you know, I love it here. I'm committed here. I hope to be here. They always say, I hope to be here, which is a lie. And then they walk out. It's kind of a white lie. They give themselves wiggle room. But I mean, you had all that documentary. Yeah. Everything. Everybody's like warming up to Lane Kiffin. And then he goes and rolls to LSU. Then proceeds to recruit the entire roster and leave his staff up there to recruit the entire roster. And then take some of them with him. and then he just starts making comments that culminated in a comment about Oxford. And that does get used against Ole Miss in recruiting some. It used to a whole lot more than it does now because we live in this world where you can look things up and all that. He didn't have to say it publicly, or you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a place that he allegedly, according to the McGee documentary, came of age and became a man and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And now he's just throwing major shade at it. But I sure am happy he hired Coach O back. I think my man needed to be back. He needs to be back in his habitat.
I'm right here. I'm right up next to the tiger cage. That's where my office is. I look at Mike the Tiger every day. Boy, with my buddy Lane Kiffin. Buck here, Lane, if you want to be a tiger, you need to get on out. It's going to be an LSU Tiger. Go Tigers.
I mean, it's hard to compete with that kind of personality, you know?
Yeah. I'm just very conflicted about LSU, right?
Yeah,
I've always kind of liked him, but or not hated him. Love going to games down there.
Oh, I'd love to go to a game there. Yeah,
Dexter said LSU is just smoke and mirrors. Well, the actual if you dig all past the noise and into the football stuff, the word from down there is they don't think they have. They were kind of surprised the roster was not as, which Brian Kelly failed as a recruiter. Which was so totally stupid because he left Notre Dame because allegedly you get better players at LSU. And then they get progressively worse roster-wise. Maybe it's you, Brian. Maybe it's you. Marcus Freeman's getting players at Notre Dame. Maybe people just don't want to play for you.
They just don't like you.
They don't like you. It's you. He's a volunteer at Memphis this year. That's good. He's not getting paid because he gets all his money from LSU.
I know, right? Yeah, he doesn't need to pay.
That's another thing. They spend money. $50 million to buy him out. I'm Brian Kelly. I'm not going to coach it at Memphis. I guess they got rid of the old Scooby Doo scary roller coaster amusement park next to the Liberty Bowl. That thing was terrifying. But yeah, I mean, don't be surprised if LSU. Especially if Sam Levitt's just kind of so-so at quarterback this year. Don't be surprised if they're kind of 8-4-ish good. I'm just glad they're off the schedule. Carolina can't seem to beat those guys. It doesn't matter who's coaching.
Brendan Sorsby is about to commit to LSU.
Dude, I bet Brendan Sorsby does go to LSU. To play basketball for Will Wade.
That's right.
Then he walks on the football team.
He's a two-sport athlete.
What's going to be funny is when he doesn't get drafted in the supplemental draft. There'll be somebody that takes him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, somebody will take him. They always rolling the dice up there on, you know, guys that look like that. I don't know, though,
gambling on your own team. That's, you know how these owners are, man.
It's a different class of people up there, right? Like, yeah, gambling on your own team. And then to find out, like, recently he even took some, like, QB unders. And then you're like, you know, first couple of completions and interceptions, you're like,
there were some props in there that we just came to light. Oh. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't take him. I don't think he's that good. You got to throw the ball in the NFL.
He needs to, yeah, go up to Canada.
Go play in the Canadian League or the UFL for a while. Get your life together, son.
Get your life
together. Like Lane Kiffin did. Show him that documentary.
That's right. Well, that's what Lane's going to bring him in, you know. This boy needs my help.
And then the NCAA will be like, all right, you made a good point.
You're right. That's right.
The NCAA is like, we've just been in the back office with Coach O for a while, and he really laid things out. Kevin Nealon can play the NCAA guy. I've been back there with Coach O for a while, and I just want to say, remember the Chippendales when he was the judge, Kevin Nealon? Patrick Swayze, RIP, and Chris Farley, RIP. Oh,
goodness.
Anyway, for the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, this is JC Sherbert. This has been the show. Hope you guys have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow, Wide Open Wednesday.